Good evening, everyone. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you would be speaking to us. No things, no ways. But in faith, we can trust you and what you're telling us. And we pray that you reveal to our hearts all the truths that we want to do. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
If you walk out onto a popular Australian beach today, there are many things that you might encounter or see. Maybe it's people surfing on the waves or splashing and swimming around. Maybe it's sandcastles popping off, people resting in the shade. Any number of things could possibly be there. But one thing you could probably trust at a popular beach to be present is a lifeguard or a lifesaver, often dressed in yellow or red, or a little bit of a combination of both. They'll always be present. And they're present for a good reason, because there's any number of mistakes that can happen on a beach. And lifeguards, these lifesavers, are there for a reason, so that if anyone makes a mistake, they're as quick as possible to make sure they're safe. I think most people are really very thankful that the lifeguards are around the beach. In fact, the earliest group of lifeguards I could locate on the internet apparently was in the late 1800s, and in Australia, it was in the early 1900s, the first group of lifeguards or lifesavers appeared. But I think someone takes the precedence for the role of lifesaver well before lifeguard was first established, maybe just 100 years ago. Speaking of someone who existed around 2,000 years ago, what's interesting about this person is he isn't your traditional lifesaver, even though he was very capable of doing that exact job. What this person came to do was to save lives, but not just for a moment, like an ordinary lifeguard, or an eternity. His name was Jesus, and he was no ordinary lifesaver. While regular lifesavers save people for an instant, Jesus was here to save us from a threat that only he could save us. Jesus was here to save us from sin, from the ultimate threat to life. Through his unity, how could he possibly come to Jesus? Why should we have faith in him? Now let's first quickly deal with this word faith. It's on the cover of each of your booklets. During this time, we'll think more about what faith means. It's only what a Christian faith means. For now, let's give faith a very simple definition of belief. Faith, very simple then, simply means to trust. To have faith is to trust in someone or something. You can't really prove it. What we're talking about during this time is why it is not only really worthwhile, but absolutely necessary to have faith in Jesus. We'll start by reading through Matthew 14. I think everyone at least can see or has access or is close to a copy of the Bible. We'll be doing some reading, so it'll be good. When you're reading from Matthew 14, beginning from verse 23. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. Immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." But Peter was coming to him. walked on the water and came to freedom. When he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. The words in the boat were to him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." That's full of Matthew, chapter 3. I think when we read this account of Jesus walking on the water, each of us forms a very different image in our minds, some more detailed than others. For some of us, it's very much a still image. Perhaps Jesus out there on the water, some grey cloud overhead. For others, the picture may be moving. Boat rocking in the waves, Jesus standing amidst a tempestuous sea, the water moving around, here and there. But let's take a chance to really paint this picture. We place ourselves in the eyes of the picture. We start in the evening, the sun is setting and the waves are there. The disciples have already been sent by Jesus to sail to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which we can think of as a large lake. The lake often used by fishermen. And there were several fishermen on board, including Peter himself. So these fishermen have been very familiar with water. They knew the waves and the winds. They can't sail a boat, certainly. However, even for these experienced fishermen, the wind was against them. Despite the efforts of the men on board, they were getting nowhere. They were at the mercy of the elements. The Sea of Galilee has very unique geography. A very specific landscape surrounding the lake means often wrong. Giant windstorms that come through across the surface of the lake. And when a windstorm against you, basically, no matter what you do, you aren't moving. So this surface lightning was trapped in the middle of the lake, the middle of the Sea of Galilee, waiting. Sun sets, the vast embers of light leave, and they wait, and they wait, and they wait. Until the fourth watch of the night. The language we use today would be roughly between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Suddenly, our image of this account changes. It's much easier to imagine this account illuminated. Bright lights. The reality was very different. Likely they were in the middle of the sea, probably a light around, maybe the light of the moon, the only thing that illuminated. Stars, a little bit very much. I think that really changes how we imagine this thing. Fishermen, around the middle of the night, moving. Some of the fishermen at the time, one of the ways they would light the night was the oil round, just like a candle. But who knows if these disciples even had that type of scope. But it's in this darkness, going to look in on the water side by the wind, that Jesus appeared, looking on the water. And the disciples thought and walking on the sea. They were terrified and said, "It's a ghost," and they cried out to fear. I can't imagine we would react in a similar way to the disciples. Out in the middle of the sea, in almost total darkness, we peer out. We see a glimpse of what seems to be a man walking on the water. Imagine Jesus, who also knew the disciples could hardly believe what they were seeing. So Jesus comes to them. Immediately Jesus comes to them. We must be afraid. We must be afraid. We must be afraid. The middle of these windy waves, the darkness all around, with no place to go, Jesus gives us simply command. Do not be afraid. Start again with clearer account. Jesus walking on the water. And get a clearer account. What does it mean to have a physical faith? Set on all sides by winds and waves. The fearful image of someone walking on the water turns to one of hope and confidence. Now, not by answering the first question of the topic. If you're on the boat at this very moment, and you see the one you realize to be Jesus walking towards you, how would you act? Jesus How do you respond? Let's see from the account what Peter's response was. And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." But Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. I think sometimes when we think of this account, we think mostly about Jesus walking on the water. What we forget is the outrageous fact that Peter also walks on the water. Peter's eyes are focused on his Lord. He sees Jesus, but he doesn't just watch what Jesus does. He follows. Is this not what it means to be a disciple? Peter sees what Jesus is doing. He doesn't just understand or perceive it. He asks Jesus with strength to do the same thing. Peter has his eyes fixed on his teacher, his eyes fixed on Jesus. Peter is living out his faith. What does this tell us about faith? What this tells us about faith is not just thinking something. Faith is very active. Faith is walking according to what you believe. They're walking daily on the water. Faith is acting in confidence in Christ and walking towards Him. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Are you of little faith? Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, those in the boat were saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." For a moment, Peter was walking on the water. He saw Jesus. He heard his voice. He listened. And he obeyed. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. I imagine he might be asking, how can you see the wind? Isn't wind by definition something you can't see? Well, you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. Certainly, I can imagine what Peter was seeing in the darkness. The waves crashing around him, rumbling, the reflection of the light piercing through. You hear the roar. He could see cats, the wind blowing through his hair, his clothes. And in that moment, perhaps a murky reflection of himself. And he realized what he was doing. Not meant to be out on the water. Not meant to be walking on water. No man before him and no man after him. They were thought they could just walk out on the water without seeing him. But his whole life, not once had he doubted the idea that he could not walk on water. Was now secret. Eyes were no longer turned to him. They were seeing something else. He was instead seeing the wind and the waves and all the noise and all the sounds. His eyes had turned. He was no longer important. Now the second question is this. What do you do when you start to sink? The answer to this question is the very core of the Christian faith. Through Peter, we see what it truly means to have faith. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." When Peter was afraid and began to sink in the water, he cried out to his Lord. This is the heart of the Christian faith and the Christian gospel. If you or I stand in a storm or in the middle of a stormy weather, there's only one way we're going, and that's straight down. We are not walking on the water on our own. In our helplessness, our sin, the one-way road to the grave, we have only one option. Call out the one who saves. Call out to the only one who can save. Call out to Jesus. How does our Lord respond? Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and brought Peter out of the water. By himself, Peter was sinking into the depths. In the hands of Jesus, Peter was standing on solid ground. Peter could not save himself. He was sinking, and the wind was pounding loud, but all he could see, and the storm was blowing him this way and that, that he mustered the little faith that he had. And he called out to his Lord, Jesus. Jesus saved Peter from the water. He saved Peter from drowning in those murky depths. He saved Jesus immediately, as soon as he asked, and he comforted him. Why did you doubt? Do not place your faith in the fact that every single human that has ever existed before you and after you has always sunk when they stand on water. Place your faith in me instead. I have the power to defy logic, to defy death, by the laws of nature, and I am the one you can trust to put into a solid ground. Where are you looking? Don't look at the water and the wind and the waves. Don't look at all the things around you that distract. Look at me. For this moment, I think of that. For Peter, he has yet to realize it. But what we have, the power of hindsight, is see a far greater truth. For us, this is what we are thinking. Sinners doomed to the grave. As our sin condemns us, as everything around us shouts and screams, and the waves blow, and the winds distract us, Jesus reaches out his hand, gives his life to save us at the cross, bringing us out of the world. When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When the disciples saw all that occurred, there was only one logical response. When we see people, we too only have one logical response. "You are the Son of God." Final response. Ask. Mm-hmm. He says. Let us take a moment to break down this simple conversation. We'll start with the first questions that I asked earlier. Jesus walks on water. How do you respond? Let's start with that. Walking on water. You know, there are things in our lives that are very clear. Things we just know are true. We realize that if we're walking out on the road, on concrete, when we step, we're probably not going to start sinking into the ground. We also know that when we start our day, and we walk outside, we're probably not going to start floating into the air. What every human also knows is that if you start walking and try to walk out into a pool or a body of water, you're going to go straight through to the bottom. You're not going to start walking on the water. You're going to sink right through. These are things we realize are true. We've lived our lives long enough to experience it. These are things that you could say we have faith in. We trust these things are completely true. There's been no doubt in the life we live that these are true. For many of us, what faith is essentially trusting in things that work before. If something works, why change it? And if it works, clearly we can trust it. We've also obviously gone to enough pools to know that we can trust. But I haven't started magically walking across the surface of my building. Then laws of nature are established. People aren't walking the law. Yet Jesus appears before us, standing on the water, and we realize to have faith in Jesus is to have faith in the one to whom nature bends its knee. Matthew in Mark 4, the disciples comment, Jesus calms the storm. Then is this, that even the wind and the sea remain. This is our entire life without having to question just to give them to water. Please faith and complete trust. Jesus appears on the water and says to us, do not have faith in anything else. Trust in me instead. There is nothing else worth having faith in. As sure as you are that man cannot walk on water, even more have faith in him. He heals the sick, restores the blind, walks on the water, conquers sin and death when he rises from the dead. Great. When Jesus walks on water, we have more reason to place our faith in him than literally in the very ground that we stand upon. These are the implications of Jesus. Now, let's think about Jesus' response. He asks Jesus, and he too walks on the water. Faith, once again, is more than just thinking something is true. Faith is very, very active. Faith involves acting upon what you believe. Reality is simple. If you believe something is true, you're far more likely to act upon it. The more important the thing that you believe is, the more likely you are to act upon it. I imagine many of us sitting in this room have often gone through the process of, for example, you know you haven't put a book here in maybe a couple of years. You know that if you don't go early, probably going to be less stressed later on than you have to deal with it. But you say to yourself, I'm going to be way risk it more. I know I'm going to be less stressed if I do it now. But the only real risk is I'll have to pull it all night the night before. And in that way, I'm happy with the consequences. It's important, but it's not true at all. I can survive not doing my homework until the day before. This changes if the thing we believe in is really important. It's not how important that is. We won't. Standing guard. And you need to check when the enemies are coming. Well, The one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. If it is not present, it tosses the wave in the sea to and fro. When you are on a battleground, every act matters. Make no mistake, this is a spiritual battleground that will find you. Every decision, every step, has consequences. Keep your eyes on Jesus. In Him, in Him alone, is our victory won. This is the call. For faith, there's even quite very different for every individual. There is no one-fits-all example where we can say, follow this sequence and you'll live a life of faith. No. But what there is for the most. The voice that every Christian, every follower of Jesus has, a voice that speaks, and a voice that means that with every decision, you are called one way. Trusting Him, to trust Him. Every Christian, you know that course. Whether it's how I speak, or how I act, whatever the situation, whether it's at school or at home, when you're resting, when you're doing work, you know. That you can act in obedience, but Christian, there is a call. Call of Every decision now matters. The one who doesn't follow Jesus, that's a voice too, but it's very loud. Very noisy. That's like a way of talking to there's no crowd to stand up, no hand to pull you out of the water. So the one who doesn't follow you, the decisions you make, no direction, no purpose, no reason. What would be countless voices do I choose to follow? Well, the reality is, none of them are like, whatever voice you follow, none of it is the truth. Without Christ, we stand on a battleground fighting for a battle that can never be won, a war that can never be won, for no one and nothing. Since your wave tossed to and fro. Whose voice do you listen to? When the voice you listen to is the voice of Christ, how much more valuable is that? How much more purpose do your decisions now have? When it's in Him that our eyes are fixed, we are no longer tossed and driven by every wind. Follow in His transforming word. Learn in all things. All of a sudden, the things we're taught to do, perhaps you've heard them completely, especially if you've got a Christian background, think of prayer and Bible reading, fellowship, all these things are absolutely of genuine value. Because what they are doing, they are drawing you closer to your knowledge and understanding of one you are. All of a sudden, all these things drawing you closer to God. We have now had access to wonderful conversation. We can speak of God freely. All these things take up genuine value. Every sort of non-necessarily Christian action, these matter as well. Because now you can act out of your faith rather than simply talk. To employ you with. Every action genuinely matters because every action you can make is a step towards Christ, a step out. Choose every decision in favor of faith in Christ, in favor of ourselves. And the thing is, the more you talk to God, the less unusual it becomes. For many people, it may be different. You say, this isn't something I'm used to. But that's the nature of a relationship and a conversation. You talk so that you can talk more, and you can know how to talk, and you can know how to listen, and you can know how to feel. When you start to have a conversation with Him, how wonderful and how glorious is it that you can now truly begin to hear Him in everything you do, in every decision you make. All of a sudden, all of the noise of the world is drowned out by one voice. Another voice calls you, gives you purpose, and gives you meaning, and gives you reason to make more meaning. That's correct. Who is it? You return when it's dark to see. Reality of the Christian life is that bondage is good, not easy. We look at our lives and we look around us. Sometimes it feels like everything is fantastic. We are richly sustained in all things. There are no worries, there are no doubts. We seem to see Christ's work in our lives daily and richly. Like, for example, many of you did today, we're on the road. It's no issue at all. We're walking along perfectly fine. You're walking, and all of a sudden, you're basically standing on an ocean, unstable ground. You're going this way and back, and nothing's holding you. You need one of your helpers to quickly pick you up, way more into the ground. Most of us, sometimes we feel like we're out there walking on the water, and there's nothing more unlikely. One creature, one moment for more, the next blessing. In these moments of weakness, in these times of doubt, we truly need to turn to the only one that can serve. So often we feel isolated in this world because of all of the distractions are around us, these winds and these cracking waves, the world can seem so loud and uncompromising. We are surrounded by the call of the world. You listen in and you hear all the pleasures of the world. Isn't it so easy to do not what we need to do, but just what we want to do? Isn't it how easy can just do what I want to do, not what I should do? More things and expectations that weigh down on me. How many people need me or want to be something or any other voice? So many voices are calling for us. Like we're in a candy shop, except all the options don't actually help our body. We can choose whatever we want in this candy store, and all of us are to the detriment of our body. None of us are actually healthy, none of the choices are good for us. Health is important. It's difficult to see. Our pain contains so much more. One who hasn't chosen Christ at all. Well, it seems so peaceful. But the reality for that one, he doesn't even know Christ is saved. They are sinking and they don't even realize. You look around and everything seems so peaceful. As soon as you try to breathe, all you get is a mouth of water. You're on the surface, you're drowning, and you don't even realize. Unclear in this moment, it's powerful gospel truth. It makes clear from this account is that what matters is not actually the story of the universe. It's interesting. If only I had faith that was stronger, if only I had confidence that I could truly believe in this, if only I could be like that suffering, but great faith, but this, if only I had no faith. See, Jesus' words, that he speaks later in life, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to here, there, that it will move, and nothing will be impossible to do. It's not the science of the faith that matters, but rather the object. When we are thinking in the water, truth is caught to save us. From the moment he was sinking, he had no more faith to walk on the water. But what faith, what little faith he did have, was the faith to call out to his Lord Jesus and to call out and say, Lord, save me. That faith is enough. Jesus alone is the answer. Jesus alone saves. What is Jesus' response? He saves. We ask, he saves. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, O you of little faith, why should you doubt? Jesus only who we trust in is only in Jesus we can faith on him. Because only Jesus saves. If it's not in the top of the faith, we ultimately find ourselves asking, what is Christian faith? And this miracle, where Jesus walks on the water, suddenly a precursor. It's leaping forward to something bigger, something greater. Because it could have been this miraculous work. Is actually by them. He even saves Peter for a little moment. He even saves Peter from the water. It's one instance. But Peter will later have to wrestle with the same question we all have to wrestle with. Peter will still have to wrestle with the question. When the grave appears and is looming, what does he do? The reality is, well, Peter is saved for a moment from the water. He is not saved from the ultimate threat, threat of death. While Peter is saved from the water, death is still coming. And it's coming for all of us and God. Christ came to do a far greater work. Christ came to become the ultimate life saver. Christ came to do more than even save Peter simply from the water. Christ did his ultimate work at the cross. It was a different law of nature in that moment that he wrote. We see here Jesus command the water to be still as he walked across it. And yet, an even greater work is done when Jesus went willingly to the cross. Here, at the cross, while on the surface it seems like just an innocent man being crucified and killed, underneath the surface, Christ was giving his life so that every single person would have a chance to be saved. Pulled out of the water. This is beyond the problem. The babies of sin are death. Every man is still condemned to die. Every man falls short of the glory of God. But Jesus is perfect life. He gives life as a sacrifice for our sins to be forgiven. One who has power with the nature of the waves and the wind performs an even greater miracle. An even greater law of nature. The ultimate law that every man has to wrestle with. Christ shall one day die. Jesus will solve it, even that. Christ's death, in his resurrection, the ultimate curse was broken. Sin defeated, death conquered. Your sin is placed with him. That place is placed in the one who can walk on water. Is the one who calls us to the eternal life where death is conquered. All that meaning, our Christian faith, is to call out and say, Lord, save me. He can pull us from the world. He can pull us from the grave. Disciples got to vote to win sin. Even Jesus and Peter got to vote. And both of them both worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. How do you respond to this message? There's only one logical response. The disciples on the boat knew the answer. All that you hear, death for us. This is real. And the decision we make isn't really that radical or revolutionary. It's the impact that decision will make on our lives will certainly be. The impact of the life you now live on the world will certainly be radical and revolutionary as well. This is the following. Ask him the simplest of the question. Lord, save me. He will be faithful. He needs to walk out of the room. By his strength, when your eyes are focused on him, his salvation on the world, work, his salvation work on the cross. You also follow Jesus. Trust in him. Not faith, but faith in him. Pray for him. Lord, thank you for all you reward. wonderful life you lead. Majesty, the glory you have, that you, in humility, paid your life for us, so that we can have full and complete faith and trust in you and your love. Place it in our hearts to know you, and to know you personally, that we can trust in nothing else but in you and you alone. And give us the faith, and save us from all the things in the world. And you would be the one, the only one that we need. In Jesus' name.